Welcome to the Fansmanship.com podcast, coming to you from San Luis Obispo, California.
Where you stand?
LA living gridlocked in the fast lane. Trying to strike a rich match, play my cash game.
Welcome to the Fansmanship.com podcast, episode 101, along with Andy Stevens. I'm Owen Main.
Like Highway 101, we travel.
Yeah, what Andy said. It is Monday, so this podcast could be kind of timely. Andy, I'm going to ask you to like probably
yeah, right on time, right?
And probably just talk a little bit closer into that.
No, you do that.
You. Yeah, and then just kind of angle that bad boy up there.
But I spit a lot. I need a spit guard.
A spittoon?
Don't I?
No, you're good.
You're golden. I was like, take care of the hardware. Come on.
Red.
I'm not going to the red line.
Green, red.
So I wanted
this is a big thing for you, to take away the spit guard. Usually you're like Mr. Careful and,
yeah.
You know, hey, be careful. No, whoa, whoa.
I could get like
this is like a huge step.
I was thinking to get a... Maybe like a foam thing to put over the top of it. I
think yeah.
Maybe at some point.
Yeah.
Might be a good
plan. And you could screw things into the popcorn ceiling you got here, and they can hang down from the ceiling. Just pull it down like a regular studio where the microphone's above you.
I got to tell you, my garage at one point was filled, was
you don't think Jenny will go for that?
Yeah. My garage at one point was finished out, and it is not finished out anymore very well. And I just always want to, but the wife wants to keep it a garage that would have, that can have other stuff in it, like a car.
But how much is that really going to get in the way? Something hanging down that you could fold up and put up back up against the ceiling?
Like, yeah, I mean,
you know, like a lamp that has a.
I've also thought about like a table, like a table that like folds and that you could put down with a pulley.
Yeah, like you go into an attic and you can pull down the stairs.
You can have all these things bolted to it, and you could just put a plastic bag over it when you're done. I mean, there's a lot of cool things like you see on like a garage HGTV show, but. Maybe someday.
Yeah.
Maybe we could all do that. That would be fun sometime. We could all get together.
Speaking of pulling things down from the air, let's get Sammy Watkins. Wow.
You been watching any preseason NFL?
Yeah, a little bit. I saw the Hall of Fame game.
The Giants
and the Bills.
Okay.
It was, preseason's pretty boring. It's actually, I like seeing the, second, third string guys get out there. Kind of see who's going to make the team that could be a guy that has to come off the bench, especially for the Giants. I'm interested in seeing what Eli can do. They had a really disappointing end to their season last year, so we'll see if they can bounce back. But other than that, I really haven't watched too much. I've just been kind of watching the bottom line and seeing who's doing what, who's getting hurt, things like that, kind of fantasy football stuff. But as far as actually sitting down and watching the games, I don't really watch preseason games.
You're a big fantasy football guy, and so I have a question for you because I was actually thinking about this today.
I play in like two or three leagues.
About nine.
This year.
About nine leagues at a time.
I'm cutting it down. Okay. I'm thinking I'm only going to be in three.
And I actually was a ghost ship in a fantasy football league before, and I just kind of realized it's not for me.
Yeah, that's a $50 league now.
Yeah, I just realized, it's just not for me.
It's legit, too. We got 12 people. Johnny Vargas joined, and everyone's 11 of 12 have paid, and I just started bugging them like less than a week ago, so people are on it.
Well, if Johnny Vargas is joining, it must be legit.
Well, he
runs, brings legitimacy.
He runs the center area of Costco. He has to be on his game. He takes care of business.
Yeah, I'm a big Johnny Vargas fan. But we're talking about fantasy football, and I remember the days when I was so into fantasy football. Those were the days when I was in college, probably maybe 10 years ago, and fantasy sports were kind of just taking off. And I was in Yahoo.
Yeah,
because
you were in those first leagues with us with like Jared and Bryce, back in like 2000.
And we had like the one random guy every year.
Like 14 years ago?
We had like the one random guy every year.
We had Bryce Ashland.
No, but the one random guy every
year. Curtie Ash. Yeah, because I would only get like, I'd only get like 9 or 10 guys. So I would publish the league and advertise it. We'd get some guy from like Iowa.
And he'd be all like, you'd be like aggro on it.
What are you guys talking about?
Because we say inside jokes because we all know each other. Yeah, so I used to like that league, those leagues back then. I guess I feel like you really have to spend so much time nowadays on fantasy football if you really want to be good at it. Mm-hmm. There are no, back then you knew who like the top 10 running backs at the top. You know, there was a clear running back definable. Order.
The tiers were very definable.
So easy to define, yeah. and guys were like reliable, and you know,
now
just
it's
the
more,
way, it
way
was
more
scoring,
of a crapshoot now. I'll tell you,
it's just
especially
a
with running backs.
And I feel like teams could just
Am
totally
I too
run
loud?
Away.
It sounds
no,
like,
you're
okay.
golden. I turned you up a little bit on here.
Yeah,
because
I'm at a good distance.
As
here,
long as you're still, not red. As long as you're not red.
Well, my face is red, right?
Yeah, always.
So embarrassed.
Also,
everyone always thinks I'm embarrassed. I go, no, I'm just Scottish. There's a difference.
Your last name is just Stevens.
Yes.
Get over it.
At least my face is not purple like Dave. God dang it, I won't catch the ball.
That's the elder Stevens, Andy's dad.
Now you really only have like LeSean McCoy and maybe.
Because he catches the ball and he's a most downs back. But even Shady gets hurt sometimes.
Yeah. Like, you know,
Priest Holmes was like the big guy back then. You know, Larry Johnson for like a year, maybe. The Chiefs running backs and the Ravens running backs were always really good.
Ray Rice, the past few years, was a top pick.
Even
now,
back in the day.
Now he's like in the, I don't know, seventh, eighth round at best because he's missing two games and his game has fallen off.
Maurice Drew is like a rookie. You know, like back then, like you could really count on guys getting 300 carries in a year and you just don't see that anymore, right?
Well, I think now, you know, it's kind of a pitfall to take running backs early. I mean, everyone still wants to do that because there are the few. I mean, I would say there's maybe four or five that, yes, you want to take in the first round. But as far as, like, position scarcity and things like that, now you want to take Calvin Johnson. Now you want to take a guy like Jimmy Graham, who's just – they're just so head and shoulders above everyone else at their position.
Because Jimmy Graham counts as a tight end, even though he doesn't want to be for his arbitration or whatever this year.
And in the late first round, early second round, you want to get Aaron Rodgers or Drew Brees or Peyton Manning. Those are the three top quarterbacks that are going to put up big numbers. The rest of them are just so far down there on the second tier that's kind of the way you want to go now. Running backs, you're right, it's definitely not the way it used to be.
I'm looking at this first week of preseason games, and I don't know what you think about the preseason. It's obviously kind of garbage and in a lot of ways, but I just love that some teams are just putting up points, and maybe that's just because some teams have garbage defenses, but you know, you see a game like the Bengals and the Chiefs, 41-39 in preseason. I love that. That means that you have quarterbacks in there that are backup guys who are moving the ball. Or maybe special teams fiascos, I'm not sure.
Well, that means that their offenses are having better camps than their defenses right now, is all that means. You
both
know?
Of them, on both sides, right? I mean,
yeah.
You see a guy like Kirk Cousins for the Redskins have a decent-looking, you know, first game.
But again, these are like kind of, I mean, these earlier preseason games, your first and second ones, are really what you want to do is, I mean, from a coaching standpoint, You really want to get a good look at your second and third team guys. You're not even – the first team guys play like one series.
Right.
Then as you get, you know, your third and fourth game going towards the beginning of the season, then you're really starting to get reps for those guys. But these first few games, it's just – it's basically second and third team versus second and third team. So.
Yeah. Did you – so the one game that you've caught so far has been the Giants and the who they play?
Bills
and –
the Hall of Fame game.
Yeah, and so, you know –
they had Jim Kelly out there.
God, the end of those games are just always garbage too. Like the Hall of Fame game always seems like it's like, you know, it's in like Ohio and by the end of it, like nobody's there and it's like who's really
playing? What is the population
here?
Of Canton? Does it have more than San Luis Obispo?
Canton. I don't know.
Who has the Hall of Fame? So it must have more than 50,000, we hope, right?
I hope so. Yeah, Ohio's pretty densely populated, like between Cleveland and Columbus,
I think.
Then
again, you think about Hearst Castle. Well, San Simeon's like 1,000 people. But you know, so just because you have where people flock to, doesn't mean it necessarily it has to have a high population.
Okay,
but.
Yeah, fair enough. Who's
my analogy
like,
for the day?
I know we haven't done all of our NFL prep, and we'll be back with more of it at some point. Soon, but
what about what Matt just posted about Andy Dalton? Is that old news?
Yeah, no, it's we can talk about it.
Who cares?
Matt LaVine talked about Andy Dalton a little bit in a recent post.
LaVine,
he compared Peyton Manning's stats in his first 3 years to Andy Dalton's. Peyton didn't win a playoff game his first 3 years, neither did Andy Dalton. Andy Dalton's one of, I think, three or five quarterbacks who's gotten his team to the playoffs each of his first 3 years in the league. Which is kind of a big deal.
Yeah.
The Bengals locked him up for over $100 million
And six kind of, for 116, I think.
The question is, who? Okay, so say you don't lock him up. What's your other plan?
What's your alternative?
Yeah, what's your other plan?
If the argument that I was hearing is like, what else are you gonna do?
Yeah,
you know,
is Peyton Manning a young Peyton Manning waiting in the wings? Is it a situation like Drew Brees and Phillip Rivers?
How many teams would want Andy Dalton right now? Probably a third of the league, maybe something like that. Definitely Jacksonville. I mean, Chad Henne, come on.
Yeah, I'd say at least a third, if not a half of the league would definitely take Andy Dalton right now. You know, the big redhead.
I have two questions when I think of it, though. Number one, people would generally say that Andy Dalton is, you know, a quarterback of a team that has a great defense, that has a top-tier receiver, that has a good offensive line, that has a running game. He was more of a game manager than an Aaron Rodgers, you know, or a Peyton Manning right now. And he's made some mistakes in the playoff. Now, was Peyton Manning viewed that way his third year in the league as a game manager?
I don't think he was, but he was definitely viewed as a guy who made some mistakes.
And also, on top of that, question number two, what was Peyton Manning's contract status his third year when he had those stats? Did he get signed for 6 years for 116? I mean, it probably wouldn't be, you know, that many dollars because it's all relative because it was, you know, whatever, 10, 15 years ago.
Right.
But as far as comparing it, you know, percentage years to I guess based on what everyone else was getting paid as far as the entire league, would you compare hit that money to what Peyton was getting paid? Because I don't think Matt talked about that in his article.
Right.
So those are my two questions. If you really want to get into it, comparing the two.
Right. So, after the first 3 years of Peyton Manning, he had Jim Mora, I think, as his coach each of those years. And then Tony Dungy became his head coach in 2002. And by 2003, Manning was winning the MVP. And so you saw a really big step, I think, in this year for Peyton Manning in his kind of third to fourth year and then fourth to fifth year.
Mm-hmm.
There was some real, real development with the tutelage of Tony Dungy. And I think it'll be really, really interesting to see, does a guy like Andy Dalton or Colin Kaepernick even, you know, some of these guys who are in their third, fourth, fifth year in the league now, are they still developing? Because the NFL quarterback,
yeah,
you see it from Drew Brees, you see it from Aaron Rodgers every year.
Do you
year,
see Andy Dalton
Tom Brady ever
becoming an MVP in his career, though?
I don't know, but this is the fun part about the NFL, I think, is that you do see these things happen sometimes where guys continue to develop. I'm not saying he's going to be the MVP, but I wouldn't be surprised if there was a big step.
Isn't it funny how 12 years later, Peyton Manning is still the MVP? It's like, what?
Yeah, he came to the league in 98.
Over me, Dalton.
So we're talking 16 years later, but 12 years after his first MVP.
And I don't know how much of his contract was guaranteed, but they should have structured it kind of like how Kaepernick's is, where it's basically a bunch of 1 year contracts. So it's based on how well he does
each year.
That's
all it is. I'm sure he got a good signing bonus, but that's all any contract in the NFL is, Andy.
Yep. They all are 1 year contracts.
They're a minute to minute contract, and your signing bonus is what you're guaranteed, and the rest of it, you're not guaranteed.
Yeah.
And that's why guys hold out. That's why guys, you know, hold out for more money on a signing bonus because they want that signing bonus.
And I loved how Pete Carroll was getting on Marshawn Lynch, like, yeah, we expect him to be in camp, and he'll be here because he'll honor his contract. It's like, how can you say that? How can you say that when they're just a bunch of 1 year contracts? Yeah, you know, the team's not going to honor, you know, if you sign a guy for 5 years, let's say $30 million. Well, you honor me. You honor my contract. You want me to honor you?
Yeah, right. Exactly. I mean, that's exactly the point.
It's a two way street. It's just so funny how ridiculous that is.
That's exactly it. We have kind of a shortish podcast today. We wanted to get together because it is Monday and because there is a lot going on right now. We're going to, in our next podcast next week, we're going to talk a little bit about Lakers upcoming season, the NBA offseason. There's a lot of fun things happening with new players, but you're talking about 1 year contracts. Joe Calero at Cal Poly with the basketball team talks about 1 day contracts. Everybody's on a 1 day contract today.
That's a really good way to put it. I like that attitude.
Are you going to earn your 1 day contract today? And your next contract?
You want
gonna
a
be,
one rep contract,
right?
Are you going to earn it this rep?
You can go all the way down to it, right? And so he talks a lot about that. Some guys who maybe are going to be getting cut based on 1 day contracts on the football team are five players from the Cal Poly football team. Today were announced that they got arrested, or I guess that happened yesterday on Sunday. They got arrested. They included Cam Akins.
We need like a siren drop right here.
Yeah, I'll get one. I can do that now with my new computer. I'm gonna need you to do that one more time and get a clean take of it. Ready, go. I think that sounded more like a cat first and then a dog. A cat and then a dog.
Or a baby.
Yeah, I hear a lot of that. But yeah, so this has not been good for Tim Walsh. His team is a week and a half into camp. Ivory is their best rusher. He's for sure like the one offensive thing that's going to be consistent all year.
He was like the weapon, basically, right? Coming off the edge on the pitch, I guess you'd call it.
And he's only like 5'6", 5'7", and so he's super leveraged, and so he can turn the corner really nicely. Him and Cam Akins was the main guy who got arrested, I guess. He was the one that they actually caught with a gun. There was an interesting video today on, and I'll just tell you, if you want coverage of it, sanluisobispo.com. The Tribune is doing an awesome job, J.D. Scroggin and company over there, both with their sports department, and it's news too, so their news department.
No, it's N-E-W-S.
Yeah, that's for sure. Yeah. But there was a frat guy, and he was describing how he had a gun pointed at his back.
Bring me back my dartboard, bro!
He had a gun pointed at his back. He was walking up the stairs with Akins allegedly pointing a gun at his back.
Wow.
Akins told him if the cops came, he was going to shoot him. Cops showed up. Akins turned around. And according to the frat guy tackled him down the stairs. And the cops, like five cops ran in. And the cops and like multiple frat guys had to like pin him down. He was fighting super violently. He was like biting people.
Was he on drugs?
He bit a cop.
Methamphetamine.
We don't know.
Maybe?
We can talk a little bit about the drug part of it too. But other players, Jake Brito, a running back, and a couple other guys were also involved. Five total. Akins was battling for one of their top wide receiver spots. Ivory as a running back. Now, beyond Ivory, Cal Poly, does have some depth. It wasn't like they had a big drop off, but Ivory definitely is their best guy. Wide receiver wise, they only throw 10 or 15 times a game, so it wasn't going to make it or
guys
break
seem
it.
To fill that void, and they have a downfield guy and then a shorter possession guy, and that's all they really need.
Well, they only have one receiver most of the time.
Yeah.
Yeah, so like it's really just one guy or the other a lot of the time. You can picture like Templeton back in the day under Jerry Reynolds with like, one receiver.
Their receivers
going just deep every time.
They were just little decoys.
Deep, but like once a game they just hit them deep. Yeah. So that's kind of how that is. And Cal Poly issued a statement. All the guys are currently off of the online roster. I don't see how they all come back. I feel like there were two guys that were charged. So Cam Akins was charged with the most serious charge, I think, the gun charge, armed robbery. Robbery with a firearm, right? Two of the other guys, Brito and one of the other ones, was charged with suspicion of robbery. And Ivory was one of the ones who was suspicion of conspiracy. And so I feel like that's maybe a lesser charge.
Co-conspirator.
I feel like some of the conspiracy guys, if they lawyer up, might get off at some level, but
off of the law. But as far as
who knows what Cal Poly's gonna look like. Ivory was supposed to be a senior this year, or is a senior this year. Akins is a sophomore.
I just don't get. It's like he had potential to have a really good senior year to maybe show his talents at some kind of senior bowl. Who knows? And maybe not get drafted, but. Yeah. If he wanted to play in the NFL or any other professional league, he could try out. Who knows? Yeah. Make a team and be a professional football player. Yeah. And it's like
Deontay Williams
you ruin that?
A few years ago, Deontay got a tryout with the Raiders. I mean, guys from Cal Poly get tryouts places. Johnny Millard is still hanging in there with St. Louis.
Do I rob a frat house or do I pursue my real possibility of being a professional football player?
Yeah,
that's a tough decision.
I know. And so,
but what are these guys thinking? Like after practice, they get together. Yo, man, let's rob somebody. It's like what are they doing? Are they hungry? Do they need more meal money? Do they just go to like a frat party and see cool stuff at the frat? And
that's
like,
the interesting.
Let's
thing
go back
too.
And rob them. It's
this
like,
year. This year, it can't be about meal money, right? Because they get to eat as much as Cal Poly will feed them, right? So maybe Cal Poly's not. I don't know. I mean, I don't know what the whole deal is. Yeah. I can't think that it has anything to do with that, and I just can't get my mind around that it was.
I can't either.
That it was like a one time kind of incident like that. I feel like there had to be some kind of other bad blood or some kind of other. There had to be another
thought.
But
there was beef.
I don't know what's going on. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. It's stupid.
Like
I
think in a dumb frat party, they like got some fight and got broken up.
Or one of them saw Xanax in somebody's cat medicine cabinet, and that's what they said it was about, was like Xanax. I don't know what you make out of Xanax, whether you make meth out of it or what, but maybe it's something you can turn around and sell really easy.
Xanax just like makes you happy.
Right. So like maybe you can just sell it on campus really easy. I don't know. I don't know, man. I don't know. I wish it didn't happen. I wish, you know, whatever. As a Cal Poly fan, you know, it just seems
so weird. It's like, yeah, these kids, some of them come from tougher upbringings and maybe feel the need to do that. But now that you're a part of a program, it's like you're part of a system. And especially by the time you become a senior in college, it's like you're part of a program. It's ingrained and trained into you to act a certain way. Right. It's like you wouldn't have made it this far if you hadn't graduated to that.
Super fun to do would be to like make a documentary about, like a real documentary about a mid-major college sports program, like the Cal Poly basketball or football team. And I haven't been able to like, you know, plan that or pull that off. And I don't know if I ever will under like somebody like Walsh or Calero, but
Real Sports HBO.
No, but
Brian Gumbel.
Like an hour long like journey through a season with a team, like where you get like locker room, like, and you can hear like, but because I'd love to hear like what Walsh has to say to the team in the locker room this morning. You know, I'm sure there was paint peeling in that thing from the heat that was coming off of him. I mean, I can't even imagine. He's a nice guy when he talks to the media, and he's really good at talking to the media. But I don't want to be there when he's. I can imagine the kind of stuff.
His assistants probably saw a totally other side of him that some of them may have never even seen before. I mean, that's how pissed I would be.
Yeah, can you imagine I can remember in high school I had a coach one time, you know, tell us don't do anything bad, but if you're gonna do bad stuff, go 50 miles away in
don't
a cave.
Don't get caught.
Go 50 miles away in a cave and do it there with your teammates who aren't going to tell on you. These guys didn't do it 50 miles
away
in a cave.
Nice advice, Silvers. That's really good advice.
I don't think it was Silvers.
It wasn't Silvers. No. No, I worked with a guy, Clark, you know, and he was from the college ranks. You know, right. He coached at Michigan and all that stuff. And yeah, just to see a guy that's a real coach just lose it over a little – I mean – behind closed doors, what people don't see, there's MFers every other word, and the slightest little inconsistency, they will lose it. So this has got to be something that,
It's just a shame because here's the other thing, and I wrote about it today on fansmanship.com, is that the community here kind of partially knows Cal Poly. They don't know Cal Poly all the way. They partially know Cal Poly. They know it a little bit from the sports that they go to, and they don't even go. There's a nugget, a group of diehard sports fans in this county. But like even you're a sports fan, but you don't know players from the teams. You don't you know you'll come to games and you'll
but
and
I don't
you'll,
frequent
you, right and, yeah. and you're 20 minutes away. So it's like you know if you're not coming and people from AG aren't coming and pass. I mean they are on some level, but. But there's another level of kind of engagement that this athletic department can do. So my point that I made was this is going to be a stigma that holds over all Cal Poly athletes. I did podcasts. We've had Chris Eversley. We've had Sullivan Groves.
Yeah, this is not going to help attendance and growth.
We've had guys on Dylan Royer and Drake Uyu who've gone on to do good things in good places. I don't know if those guys have ever committed armed robbery. I would kind of doubt it. But this is the stigma that's going to get put on these guys now as they get seen around town, as they get seen, you know, in San Luis, you know, if they're out at night, if they're somewhere, this is the stigma that's going to be attached to them. And it's just so not good. I'm so bummed for all the other guys.
And
I'm bummed for
the thing is they are probably going to get asked about that by randoms and even reporters. What do you think of what happened? It's like,
I mean, so San Luis Obispo doesn't have like the highest like African American population, right? So like I can picture like Joel Awich walking around and like, you know, somebody asking him about it just because, you know, just because that's how he looks.
Guys?
Yeah, are you an athlete at Cal Poly? Like, I just hate it. I hate how that's potentially going to be. I hope that people are a little bit more nuanced than that. But we know it's hard to be. And in a small town, I kind of can't blame people for doing what they, you know, for thinking however. Yeah. I mean, that you live in a small town that
that, see, that's the thing. I can
is that way.
I know what you're talking about. Like in a small town, bad news is magnified usually more than good news. Is probably what you're trying to say.
That's exactly right. And you know, in college towns where like you know, SEC towns, I mean, guys get arrested all the time. It's but that's the SEC. Those guys are actually like, you know, they're on the verge of being pros. The Cal Poly guys have to earn every little bit they get.
And well, those big schools, there's an annual something or other every year, pretty sure, much, right?
Sure, this is... sure, yeah, in a lot of conferences at least.
Yeah.
You know, Cal Poly, and the other thing I wrote, and I'll just kind of let you kind of vamp off of this, but Cal Poly, the coaches always talk about you have to be a good student to get into Cal Poly. You can't just get into Cal Poly without being a smart guy. Right, at least in the classroom,
you are
on some
student,
level.
Dot 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 dot
yeah.
athlete.
Yeah, right, right, and their student athletes are generally like guys who graduate. They do a decent job of all that. Being book smart though doesn't equal being street smart. Being book smart and being a great citizen are not two equal things. I've known a lot of guys who were super smart but who were a-holes. You know,
yeah.
Outside of school or a-holes in real life, but they're super smart. That doesn't mean they can't get good grades,
uh-huh.
right? And so I'm just so interested to see how this affects or doesn't affect the team. I think an inadvertent effect could be... Go ahead. I want to get your take on that.
Well, that just goes back to what I was saying about it's surprising, especially for a guy like Ivory who's been part of the program for so many years. It's like I say, once you've graduated to that... Yeah. That leadership role as a senior now, and you've been part of the because when and you're in a program like that, it's, you know, around the clock, around the year, you're part of that discipline. You know, you're on the road. You're told when to go to sleep. You're told when to eat. You're told what to eat. You're told what to say. You're told how to dress. You know, all those little things. It's just like you're.
And if they weren't before now, they are now.
How do you fall out of that regiment, I guess, and do something like that? Like, hasn't that been, I don't want to say trained might not be the right word, but hasn't that been, I guess trained out of you by now, where you realize that these are not the things that you need to do? This
habituated.
Is not how to be a man.
Yeah.
You know,
has it been habituated? And
you've grown up enough.
Think about this time of the year, right? This is the time of the year when guys aren't in school yet. They're practicing every day. They're with their teammates all day every day.
Right. So when they're not, you know, even if they have doubles, still you still have time with your teammates where you're just sitting playing video games.
You remember driving back and forth to Cayucas?
What do you want to do for fun, man?
I remember driving back and forth to Cayucas with guys. I mean, yeah, absolutely. You know, from Cambria to Cayucas and back. That's there's times to do stuff.
There's no homework
with knuckleheads. There's no homework yet, and you're not that tired because practice just started, and so maybe these guys need to be more tired. I'm sure Tim will find ways to impress upon his team.
Yeah, once you've been at camp a couple of weeks, you're kind of used to it. Those first few days, you're not going to go rob anybody. You can barely get out of bed. Yeah,
I saw some tweets today. There's one of the linebackers on the team. He went to Slow High. Ferguson tweeted like, "Ice baths just don't do enough. Like I can't tell you how much money I would pay to feel to be not sore right now. Like that's just the way that goes."
I used to do ankle in an ice bucket. That was always
is that painful?
The first few minutes, you know, it feels like your leg goes completely numb. Once it goes numb, you're good.
Right. It helps. Yeah. And it helps. It does something. So, you know, I really hope these guys figure it out one way or another. I'm not going to tell anybody what to do. I don't have a take on like whether these guys should be kicked off the team or not because I don't have all the details.
Uh-huh.
I think it's going to be really hard for Cam Akins to come back on the team. I think, you know, he got caught with a gun, tackled by police, bit police officers. That's a guy who's like that. Those facts are like pretty much out there now.
Now what was he? Was he a
he's a wide receiver.
Yeah, but as far as year in the program,
junior, I think maybe. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah,
junior, huh?
Yeah. So like, I mean, again, you know, these are guys who've been around each other for a while. I think he actually went to high school with Kristan Ivory, possibly in LA.
Wow. Because that's just abnormal as far as the behavior. I mean, let's see if drugs are involved. It sounds like he. You know, you're not biting people and, you know, you need five or six people to hold you down unless you're really on something.
Maybe. I don't know. Yeah, I don't want to speculate.
Yeah.
I mean, I hope those guys get whatever help they, you know, they need or they want. I hope that, you know, that guys like, you know, that kind of the whole truth comes out. Because I don't know what conspiracy really entails in this case. Like,
you knew about it.
Yeah, you knew about it maybe, and I don't know how much that sticks, and I don't know. I mean, here's the thing. Here's my like last point. If you knew about it and you knew that there's guys on your team doing it, what kind of a leader are you to not speak up and say something? What kind of a guy are you? What kind of a teammate are you to not speak up and say something? This is a guy who's the senior, who's supposed to provide that leadership. The last 2 years, Cal Poly's lost a lot of leaders. They've lost Johnny Millard, Sullivan Groves on the defensive end. They lost Andre Broaddus. They lost Lefi Latuyasanoa.
There seems like there is that void that needs to be filled.
There's obviously it's not Chris Dann if he's in the middle of all this. Obviously it's not Cam Akins if he's in the middle of all this. Obviously it's not Dominique Love, Malik Love's little brother, who's in the middle of all this. And Malik Love, you know, on the basketball team, his little brother. And their first game this year is against New Mexico State, where Dominique Love used to play.
Wow.
And so that would have been like a big deal for him, I would think. And I can't see any of those guys playing in that game. I just can't. I don't know.
No.
That's not going to happen. Yeah, I mean, you get arrested. I say whether you did anything or not, you get arrested.
Best case scenario, you get kicked off the team, realistically.
For all five of them, you think?
Yeah.
Wow.
Or at least you're not playing this year.
Right.
You're not playing.
And that's effectively kicked off for, you know, a senior. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, I
best case scenario, I want to get a chance to earn your scholarship back. Yeah. next season. Okay. Best case scenario.
Okay. Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
I'm interested to see what actually the conspiracy part means and how Cal Poly spins that or doesn't. It'll be interesting to see if they say, listen, you're involved at all. You knew about anything that was happening here. You don't deserve to play at all this season. Or hey.
Are you talking like the...
Like the two guys who are in the conspiracy category.
Okay, so you're talking like the president or what Walsh's opinion will
Walsh
be?
Walsh or the AD. Whoever, I mean, it's going to be a unilateral decision. Yeah. I mean, they're going to decide it together.
Well, I guarantee you Walsh is going to be like, nope, they're done for this year, all of them.
You think?
Absolutely. Okay. You got to stand hard as a coach, and
at a place like Cal Poly that trash talks about the kind of guys they have. Yep. I mean, that's part of the trash talk that they can do.
You got to put your foot down here.
Yeah, and I guess the positive thing about Cal Poly and the way that their team is structured is that no one guy makes all the difference. So they have, you know, two quarterbacks that are probably going to play this year. Yeah, I mean, if you told me one guy on the whole team that you really needed to be healthy all year, I would have said Chris Dann Ivory. So that's going to hurt from a football perspective.
Well, maybe it'll open up an opportunity for someone who
there are two
is
freshmen.
Not as highly regarded can now step up. And, hey, maybe it's, you know, you got to think best positive outlook. Yeah. But it could be for the best. Who knows?
There are two freshmen who are like California State track athletes who are running backs. And none of them are going to be as physical as Chris Dann, but possibly, you know, one or both of them were going to play anyway. And now, you know, if Chris Dann's gone, then if Ivory's gone,
who knows?
Then,
you find a guy that can turn the corner and take it 99 yards or whatever.
Yeah. I mean, there's going to be opportunities. Right. Let's just put it that way. Guys who are receivers who are, you know, third and fourth on the depth chart, you know, those guys are going to get opportunities. So, you know, I'll kind of look forward to seeing who takes that mantle.
Well, Walsh said
they're going to coach up the guys that they have.
I'd just like to say, best case, you know, let's hope for the best. And at the same time, like, to reiterate your point, you know, my final point I want to make here is hopefully that the rest of the athletes at Cal Poly won't feel the backlash from this, the unintended backlash, you know, and have people in the community view them this way just because one faction, you know, one little piece of one faction of the entire athletic program made this mistake, that the rest of them don't suffer. Yeah. I mean, that's what I don't want to see.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Well, Andy, that was interesting and fun, and I appreciate you coming in today.
Yep.
Again, the end of Fansmanship Podcast.
Happy Monday.
Number 101. We'll be back next week, and we'll talk a little bit of Lakers basketball, a little NBA offseason. For Andy, I'm Owen. We'll see you next time.
Peace.
Hey, thanks for listening to the Fansmanship Podcast. For more podcasts and more in-depth sports discussion, go to fansmanship.com.
Well, I've been stuck on down in Trouble Town. It's a lonely place, it's true. Street lights so bright they blind my vision. And the people on the streets, they beat me up till I'm black and blue.